Welcome to the Pata Martins podcast. My name is Céline Terranova. I'm an author and brand new podcaster here to help you in your creative career. This show is all about advice, support, and inspiration for performers, writers, musicians, and any kind of artist. Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 11 of the Part-Time Artist podcast. Today, my guest is Anna Mosikat, and together we talk about her journey in the creative industry, from the film industry to the video game industry, and to publishing and being an author. But before this awesome interview, let's talk about the latest news. Things have been a little bit quiet on the website because I'm working really hard on my training courses for businesses in the creative industry. As I said in the last episode, I'm scaling up the business to work with theatres, art cafes, galleries, and in general businesses in the creative industry. And the idea is to improve well-being of the people working there. So it's all about supporting managers and employees, creating more communication, talking about mental health, and altogether creating a kinder environment in an industry that sometimes is too fast-paced and too stressful and too difficult to really think about these things. So I'm really busy working on that now, but don't worry, I will return to the blog, to my YouTube channel. I have lots of ideas for new videos and to promoting the book when this is kind of on track and I can go back to working on other stuff. But because I'm busy, that's the perfect time to apply if you want to be published on the blog. I'm looking to build a team of writers who can give their own point of view of what it is to be an artist and help other people. So if you're interested, if you want people to know your story, to hear your voice, visit thepartimeartist.com/submissions and I'll get back to you. And of course, the link will be in the show notes. Right, that's all for today. Let's go to the interview. I know I say it every episode, but you can support this show on Patreon. Your contribution there helps me pay for the hosting and equipment of this podcast, and in return, I post a special episode every month. My sponsorship starts at $2 per month, and you can stop whenever you want, so you can test and see if you like it or not. And you can decide the content of my next special episodes. So if you're interested, check out my Patreon page, patreon.com/thepartimeartist, patreon.com/thepartimeartist. So today I'm interviewing Anna Mosikat, who is an author and who has also been in the film industry and the video game industry. Welcome to the show, Anna.
Thank you so much for having me, Céline. I'm really excited and I can't wait for your questions. I'm very happy to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy you're here too. So if you can please start by telling the listeners what you do and who you are.
All right. So as you just introduced me, I am an author. I am a novelist, actually. I have published four novels and the fifth one is about to come. And but before that, as you said, I worked in different industries. I have been around for more than 20 years in the creative industry. So I think I have quite a lot to tell.
Wow, 20 years in the creative industry. Can you tell us a little bit more how it all started?
So I started out right after I graduated. I graduated in Germany. As everybody can hear, I have this fantastic German accent, and which is unfortunately not as pretty as yours. Yours is amazingly pretty. I love French accent. So I can't, I unfortunately only can come up with my fantastic German accent.
Oh no, accent, are you kidding? Sounds... German accent is awesome. I've worked with a lot of Germans before, and I love the accent.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm afraid that I sound like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm a little bit prettier than him, but still, yeah.
Well, I mean, there's worse people to sound like, to be honest.
Well, yeah. Okay. I'll be back. Okay, so after graduating school, I thought, okay, I need to do something real, something grown up. So I decided I will go into journalism, and that's what I did the first years, still when I was in university. I worked for a TV station in Munich, and was about to go in that career, but since I have been very creative since childhood, I quickly decided that I would rather go into fiction. And so I started making short films, producing short films, directing them, writing them, and then I went to film school Munich, where I studied screenwriting. And well, that's basically how everything began for me.
And is the film industry in Munich and in Germany in general, is it really well developed, or did you have trouble there finding people with the same interest and finding some fundings to do what you were doing?
Well, it is of course not as developed as the American film industry, which is just which is just the biggest one in the world. But Munich is the center of the German film industry, so I was at the right place. It's where most films are being produced and where the money is coming from, because Munich is in Bavaria, and that's the richest part of Germany. So the fundings for movies there are better than anywhere else. And I also got a scholarship for first for screenwriting, then for production, because I had a little production company by myself with a few people. So there's a lot going on there. It was pretty good, actually.
Wow, that's fascinating. How long did you stay in that industry before deciding to switch?
Almost 10 years. I've been
Wow.
around almost 10 years. So mostly I made short films, which I directed myself. I also produced some for Munich Film School for the people who graduated there. I did a couple of commercials, and I wrote screenplays. I worked in a writer's room for a big TV company in Germany, where they developed a TV series. It was actually the first writer's room they had in Germany, which is funny because they have them forever here in the US, and in Germany they decided to start out with that, and I think it was 2008, so they were a little bit late with that. That's one of the problems the industry in Germany has. They are always a little bit behind, but that's just how it is.
And why did you decide to change after 10 years? So 10 years in this industry, why did you suddenly de decide to go to the video games, which is completely different, right?
It has many reasons. So I always have been a passionate gamer. Since early childhood, I started gaming on the C64 when I was a child, and then I gamed in the 90s, and I'm still a gamer. So my favorite leisure time is to sit at my Xbox and play against other players or whatever. So that was one thing. I always loved video games and video games industry. And another thing was that so the German film industry was difficult at that time, especially for women in certain genres. And I wanted to do horror, which was a little bit complicated, because I experienced a lot of sexism in this industry as a woman wanting to do such stuff. So that was a reason for me when I decided, okay, I need a change. I would like to try something different. And that's when I then went in the video games industry, where I worked as a game writer.
Wow, and what you say about the film industry, that's a bit surprising coming from Germany, because I always thought, Germany is kind of a country where you will have more progress, actually, where you would have more equality. But what you say is that the film industry there is still kind of old school, perhaps?
Oh yeah, it is. So I will never forget when I was at film school, and I presented a screenplay which was very dark. I always love the dark stuff. Okay, I'm a goth and I like dark stuff, and I dress in black, and there is a a lot of mean things happening in my screenplays and in my books, but it's also entertainment, so that's what I do. And I had a screenplay like that, and this professor looked at me and he said, "But why? You're such a sweet young girl. Why don't you write something about love and
Oh
flowers
my
and people
God.
being happy?"
Oh my God. You know what? I had exactly the same experience with a teacher when I was in high school and I was writing about serial killers and crimes and stuff like that. And I had a teacher telling me exactly the same. But you're so sweet. Why don't you write about love stories? Oh my God, this is crazy.
Yeah. So you know how it is. I mean, this is unfortunately something which is still happening, and most women in the film industry, it's changing a bit. Here in America, it's much better. There are more women making genre movies, but still not enough. And in Germany, mostly they do either children's movies or romantic comedies or something like that. So that's what they do. It's also what they mostly do as novelists. So I experienced a very similar thing when I was publishing my novels in Germany.
Oh my God. And going to the video game industry, did you find it was more equal? It was easier for you to do whatever you wanted there?
No, it is a completely different thing because you work in a huge team on a game, and you're very much you have to do what the game needs. You don't have so much creative freedom as you have as when you write a book or when you write a screenplay. You're always part of the team, and there is always certain goals, and that's how you work. So it's very different. I enjoyed it very much. I have been in the video games industry for 3 years. I enjoyed it very much. It was an amazing experience. But then I quit and went back to what I always wanted to do since childhood, and that was writing novels. And I think that was the best decision of my life.
Oh, and is it at that time that you moved from Germany to the US?
No, I moved to the US 3 years ago. So the whole video game industry experiences were all in Germany. I worked for two different companies there, but I also went to international game conventions and stuff like that. So it is a very international business, the industry. But after that, so I started then be began. As a novelist, I was very fortunate that I found one of the top agents in Germany and one of the top publishing houses. So that's where I got my books out, and I was in this industry in Germany then for 5 years, and now I moved here to the US 3 years ago to continue my writing career here.
And was it difficult to start from scratch in another country?
Yes, very much so. So everybody who thinks, "Oh yeah, here I am, I just come here, and everybody will welcome me," it's not like that. I mean, you come to a different country, to the in different industry, and you start all over from the scratch. That's what I had to do, and it wasn't easy, but I'm very happy with what I have now, which is my first book in English coming out in November. It's published by a smaller publisher. They are called Black Rose Writing, but they are absolutely awesome guys. So I'm very, very, very happy about that.
And how did you go about that? I think that's a lot of good advice probably for people who want to move to a different country. How did you go about creating new contacts in the industry in the US?
Oh, well, that's of course very difficult. So of course querying, right? That's what we all do and what we all hate. Querying is horrible. Querying sucks. I also went to screenwriters conventions because that's a another field I'm still interested in working in the long term. So that's also a very good thing, how to meet people and otherwise online. And yeah, You start from the scratch, really.
Yeah, you have to kind of put yourself out there. You don't have a choice
Yes.
because you don't have your usual contacts. And
Exactly.
did you see any difference apart from what we said before with the different genre that you kind of allowed as a woman? But did you see other difference between the US in terms of being published in there and in Germany for a writer?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm so happy to be here and be able to be creative here and write here because a big reason why I left was so I published a series. It was of a kind of a dystopian story and three books and four novellas which were are circling around the story. So it was a pretty big project. And after that, I wanted to go much more into genre, much more into science fiction and into darker stuff. And that was the point where my agent and my publisher asked me to publish under a male pen name. And that was for me the point where I said, okay, screw you, I'm going to America. And here it is very different. Women are much more established in all genres, and I think that's amazing. It's very cool. It's a very, very open market and a very, very open society here.
It's really funny because it reminds me a little bit of the story of J.K. Rowling, why she published under J.K. Rowling, because they didn't want people to know that it was a woman writing Harry Potter at first. Because at the time, for that genre, for books that are targeted at boys, it's better to be a man's writer, which is crazy when you think about it, that she was said that. That's why she had to had initials. Which it's actually completely crazy, and it sounds like it hasn't changed much since then.
Well, maybe it has and has in Great Britain. It definitely hasn't changed in Germany. I was nominated for the with my books for the most important science fiction award, and it was just me and only men otherwise.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's still some way to go there, definitely. Now let's talk about the books that you have written and the book that you have just written is gonna be published soon. So you wrote several books in German, and then now you're writing in English. So I'm always admiring people who do that because I have had to change from French to English, and I know how difficult it is to kind of have to relearn everything. So how did you master English enough to write a book in that language?
So English is actually my third language. I'm born in Poland, and my parents moved with me to Germany when I was 6 years old. So then my second language was German, and now English is my third language. I, of course, learned it in school, and then relatively early, then I also studied American literature at the university for a while, so that helped as well. And I started watching movies in very early years. I started watching movies in English, and I think that was extremely important for me to learn English. And then in the video games industry, the video games industry, even though I was in Germany, it's completely in English because their people are very international. So that's where I also had to speak English all the time. And I always loved the language. I don't know. I think it's a language where you can express yourself much better than, for example, in German. That's my opinion. Especially when it comes to dialogues, English language is wonderful. So I really enjoy writing in English, actually. I make mistakes, but well, that's what software is for, that will correct you, and our awesome beta readers, which I have, who helped me out and tell me, okay, that's not how an American would say it. You have to rephrase. And I'm learning. I'm still learning very much.
Yeah, I am still learning too, and I think what you say about having better readers, having people point out things that you might not know is actually not really a native language level, it's so helpful. For me, it was exactly the same. Just having people reading what I write and say, okay, this is probably coming from French, so maybe let's change to that. That was the most helpful. But I think what you also said about loving the language is so important. I think a lot of people might want to write in English because they might think it's easier to get popular this way or to be a bestseller this way, but you have to absolutely adore the language and feel like you can only express your ideas in that language to really get to a level of knowing enough to express actually your book in that language, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100%. I feel the same. And so, yeah, I mean, you made quite similar experiences as I did, which is really nice to hear. And yeah. Also, what I think the English language, and also, I don't know, Americans like high concept stories, big stories. And that's what I always loved as well. And that's something which you can't do in Germany. So when I first presented my story for my books, for the series I had, the agent told me, well, it's awesome, it's great, but it's too big. You need to make it smaller. You need to simple it down. And you need to make it slower. And so that's what I did. And I wasn't really happy about it. And now with Shadow City, the book I'm bringing out now, this is how I always wanted to write, because it's very fast and very high concept. And it has bigger than life heroes and all that kind of stuff. I really love.
I totally get that. I moved originally to the UK because here you have a culture of science fiction, of genre fiction that you don't necessarily have back in Belgium or in French-speaking countries, even though it's getting there. So it's great because there's a lot of influence coming from the US, from the UK, but still not to the point where you would have a Doctor Who, for example, in Belgium, you know? So yes. I get completely, sometimes relocating means that you can allow yourself to get exactly what you want because your influences are coming from the US and the UK.
Exactly, yeah, absolutely, yeah, I totally agree.
Well, let's talk about your novel, Shadow City. Can you tell me more about it?
Well, it's a dark fantasy science fiction story with a bit of horror also inside. It's a it is set after the apocalypse in a post-apocalyptic Los Angeles, and the survivors there have to face not only radiation and mutated creatures and trying to survive in a destroyed city, but also they realize that the glitch, which is how they call it, the catastrophe, has caused a shift in our realities and has opened a portal to another dimension. And from this dimension, creatures are coming into a world which are, very, very dark. Very, very dark creatures, and every living being is automatically horrified of them.
Ooh.
And so the struggle for survival then really gets really bad for the few humans who have survived. And they are not alone in their fight, because they are almost about to be extinct. They are not alone in their fight. There are creatures coming out of the shadows who they didn't believe they even existed, and they start supporting humans in their fight for survival.
Oh, that sounds absolutely awesome and super exciting. Now, if you can
tell me
more a little bit about your process for writing it, because you're quite an experienced novelist. So how long did it take for you to get that idea, and from the moment you got the idea to the point where the novel was ready?
Ooh, from the idea to the novel, that's a bit difficult to answer, because most ideas I had years ago, and they are somewhere in my head and somewhere in my notebook. So, and then finally I can sit down and write them, like it was with Shadow City. I had this idea for 8 years and I couldn't write it in Germany, and now finally I have put it down. But when I start writing a book, it's usually 4 months. I need usually 4 to 5 months to write it, to write the first draft, and then second draft and editing. So it is, I would say, probably 8 months in total, because I spent a lot of time with editing and working over it again and again. Plus, world building is, of course, in case of Shadow City, it has a huge, huge world behind it, which is very complex. So it took time to develop all of this, to develop the full mythology that the world has. And also it is a multi-plot, so it doesn't really have one main character. It has seven characters with their unique storylines, which come together in one big storyline in the end, and then it goes to the showdown. So this book was actually much more complicated and difficult to write than the ones I had before, but it was a lot of fun.
I can imagine. That sounds really complicated, but then it sounds also that because you had the experience of your previous books, it was kind of a rehearsal for you to write this book that was more complicated.
Yes. So what I always tell people who start to write, because I mean I'm doing it for 20 years, and so I learned, of course, a lot from screenwriting. I think screenwriting is a very good way to learn writing, because you in a screenplay you can't write even one word that is too much. You always have to be on point, and that's something I also do in my books. And there is never a sentence too much in my books. So that's something you can learn from there. And another thing what I always tell people is try with a simple story first. Try with one main character, maybe from the first person perspective. That's the easiest to write. Or then take one from a character from the third person perspective, but take one main character and build the story around them. It is much easier. Don't start with a multi-plot. Never do that, because that's really difficult. That's
I wish
something.
I had spoken to you before.
Yeah, I know. I mean, so many people would love to do a multi-plot, because we know that from TV, for example, from all the TV shows, they are mostly multi-plots with many characters, and it's awesome. But it's also the most difficult thing to write is the multi-plot. That's something in the movie industry. That's something every writer knows. The multi-plot is the really difficult one. So don't start it before you have written a couple of books. That would be my advice, and then it will be easy.
That's some amazing advice. I really, really wish I had had that advice before I wrote my first novel, because I wrote a novel with two point of view in parallel, which was super complicated. And now I'm currently working on my second novel, which is just one point of view. And yeah, it is easier. I can concentrate more on the character. I can concentrate more on the background, and I don't have to kind of time things between the different point of views, which was a big problem in the first novel. So I think that's a great advice. If someone is listening to this and they are hesitating between different ideas for their first book, definitely, yeah, go with one character.
Yeah, definitely start with the simple stuff. So we have in the screenwriting industry, we have a saying. It's the KISS rule. The KISS rule is keep it simple, stupid. And that's a very, very important rule you have to learn. You try to keep it as simple as possible, at least in the beginning. Then you can bring out the essence of the story easier. So don't make things overly complicated if it's not really necessary.
I guess that sometimes it just feels like if you do that, then your best idea, you're not working on it first, and it might be a bit frustrating. And that's actually branching to my next question I had for you, because you've been doing this for many, many years, for 20 years in the creative industry. How did you manage to keep going? So do book after book, screenplay after screenplay, working on video games. How did you manage to keep going for 20 years?
That's something I ask myself very often, actually. I would say I think I'm very stubborn. So if I can't do something, if something doesn't work out, then I will try again in a different way. And I have fallen on my face so many times. I'm like these dolls, you know, the dolls that have the bottom is round, and then when they fall, they will always get up again. That's the kind of doll I am like that. So whenever somebody kicks me down, I will bump up again and start over. That's why I started over so many times with different things, because yeah, I'm very stubborn. But I think what we have in common is the self-doubts, and it is a very very difficult industry. It is a very difficult life, and it's a struggle against yourself every single day. But what an advice I can give is, if you see that something isn't working, if a door closes in front of you, don't try to bang at the door over and over again, because it will just frustrate you and you will eventually give up. Go around and try to find a hole in the wall, and then you get inside in a different way. There is always a way somewhere, but you need to find it. And don't bang your head against the door. Don't bang it bloody and give up.
Such a good advice, because I think a lot, most of us see a project that didn't work well or you're changing industry as a failure, but it's actually not a failure. You just tested something and it doesn't work for you anymore, or it didn't work for you. So just try something new, because that something new might be the thing that's going to work for you for a few years, even if it doesn't work for the rest of your life. I think we are not at a point where you're going to have to do the same thing over and over for the rest of your life. You can experiment, you can go into different types of industry.
Exactly, yeah. And what I also can tell is, if it doesn't work out to find an agent or a traditional publisher, well, who cares? Then self-publish. Do it yourself, because you're not a bad writer or less valuable than the other guys who are with the big publishers. Not at all. It depends so much on luck and who you are, and to be at the right spot at the right place. So many things you never can influence. So if you don't make it this way, it doesn't mean that you should give up, that you're a bad. That doesn't mean it at all. Try another way, try something different, and eventually it will work out for you.
That's amazing. I think it's the kind of thing we need to think when we're about to give up, or when we're about to say, okay, I'm done. I'm gonna have a normal life now, and I'm gonna be a normal person and not a creative. I don't think it's really possible to be completely non-creative when you are a creative person.
Yes, it's like breathing, right? You
Yeah.
need that every day. And for me, so I tried to do it the traditional way here when I came in the US, because that's how I knew it from Germany. I mean, I had an agent, and then I had a big publishing house. So that's what I wanted to have here too. And then I had really struggles to find an agent here, which was extremely frustrating for me, because well, they just didn't like me. And then I decided, okay, then I will go directly for a publisher. And that's how it worked out for me. So that's another thing I would like to tell everybody. Don't believe the myth that you only can be published when you have an agent. That's a myth the agents have created. And you can be successful without them. And if you can be successful without them, do it, because they cost money. So you don't need an agent.
That's an awesome advice, and there's a lot of really, really motivated small publishing houses who are desperate to get a really good story. I've met actually some of them when I went to the Young Adult Literature Convention here in London, and they really want to hear from you guys, from writers, from new voices. They want to have good stories. So if your story is good, just don't give up and keep sending it, because someone is going to like it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly how it is. And if it doesn't work out with a big publisher, don't worry. Take the small one. I can say from experience, I've been with a big publisher, and the experience, I wasn't very happy about it. And now I'm with a smaller publisher here, and these guys are amazing. I mean, for example, I could bring my own cover. I have hired a cover designer. He lives in the Philippines, actually. He's an amazing guy, and he created my cover and he created all my artwork and everything. And I brought it to the publisher, and the publisher said, "Yeah, cool, we take that." While when you are with a big publishing house, they will control everything. They will control how the cover looks like, what is written there. They maybe will send sensitivity readers after you, whatever. So that's you're always kind of a bit of a slave of them. Plus, they get most of the money of your books. I mean, you almost don't get anything for the books. You just get a little percentage. When you take a smaller publisher, you will get a bigger percentage. Or if you self-publish with Amazon, I mean, that's you can get 70% of what the book is sold for. I mean, that's amazing. Amazon is really great.
Yeah, and in return, you have to do your own marketing. But if your story is good, and especially if you have a series and people start to like it, then it's going to snowball and you're going to have a lot of people reading it. And you're probably going to make more money that way.
And yeah, it's also not true then when you have a publisher, they will do all the marketing for you. No, they don't. So they
Oh,
have
okay.
no. So they have that's at least how it worked for me in Germany with the big publisher. But as far as I heard, it's very similar here. So I think the business is the same basically everywhere. They have their big shots, they have their best-selling authors, and they basically do everything for them. And they have a lot of smaller guys who are not the best-selling authors, who are just selling their books. And it's, yeah, you know, just the smaller fish. And the smaller fish have to do everything by themselves. You mostly do your marketing by yourself, but you don't have the freedom to do it as you want. So, for example, I wanted to put up posters in a subway in Munich, and I wasn't allowed to because the publisher said, "No, that's something we decide." So I couldn't do that. So you have to put a lot of energy in it, even if you're traditionally published. So, yeah, they are basically sucking on the smaller authors.
Oh my God, that's incredible to know that, because obviously I'm self-published, so I don't really know how it works in the traditional industry. And I really thought that, okay, well, once they have it, they do everything and you can basically concentrate on your next book. And it's not the case if you're not J.K. Rowling, Pierce Brown, or the big authors, basically. That's
Yes.
incredible. So basically, when people are self-publishing, there's still always a little bit of the stigma that, you're not traditionally published, but there's a lot of advantages to do that, and the freedom is the big advantage.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, I think the self-publishing nowadays is awesome. And I mean, what you have to do is, I think you need a good cover. Even if you self-publish, it's worth it to hire somebody who's really good and make an amazing cover for you, because then it looks professional. I think that's very important. And yeah, and beta readers and somebody who helps you editing and all of this. That's of course something you get with the big publisher. I mean, I had an editor and she was working with me on my books, and so that's of course a good thing you have there. You don't have it when you self-publish, but you can do it for yourself. You can find people to help you, or hire people, or use softwares. For example, there is an amazing software I can recommend. It's called AutoCrit.
Oh yes, I have used that one. Yes, it's very good. It's a bit pricey, but it's so worth it.
Absolutely, it's absolutely worth it. And I mean, you don't need to have it all the time. You just use it when you're editing, which is, I don't know, in my case maybe 2 or 3 months, and then I stop using it and stop paying for it, and then I get it back once I need it again. So yeah, it is pricey, but it is absolutely worth the money. Oh my God, this software is so awesome.
Oh, I have had a really good experience with it too. I got it after NaNoWriMo because I don't know if you know, but if you win NaNoWriMo, you get a lot of discounts for different partners that they have. And the year that I did it, AutoCrit was giving it, I think it was 60% or 50% or something like that. So I did it and it really helped me. I was editing a short story at the time because I had been sending it to a lot of magazines. I didn't really get any feedback or anything. And then I went through AutoCrit, I did a lot of modifications, and then it got published a month later, I think. So, very, very well worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think so too. There's also a book I would like to recommend to everybody who writes. It's a book about screenwriting, but you can use almost everything in this book for writing novels. And for me, that's my personal Bible. I have read this book many times and I look up things there. And the book is called Story, and the author is called Robert McKee. And he's one of the most famous screenwriting teachers in Hollywood and worldwide, meanwhile. And this book is amazing. I can only tell everybody who starts writing or who already is writing for a while, read this book. It will help you. It will help you creating characters. It will help you creating a plot, everything. Because what works in a movie works in a book as well.
Oh, I have actually read that book a few years ago, and it is absolutely amazing. And you're right, it doesn't only help for screenwriting, it really helps just telling a good story, just having a good hero, having a good arc. And all of that is the same in film and in novels. So yeah, I definitely recommend that book too. Well, if you could tell me when your novel is going to be released and where can the listeners find it?
You can find it on Amazon worldwide. The novel is called Shadow City and it will be out on November 7th, but it is of course now available for pre-order. And if somebody's interested to learn more, can look at my website or maybe follow me on Facebook. That's actually where I'm most active. I also am on Twitter, but Twitter is more like for me to connect with other writers and have friends. And Facebook is the place where I post all updates and everything. So if somebody's interested, I would love to get in touch. I also really love to get in touch with people who are interested in my work or who maybe need advice or whatever. So yeah, just contact me.
Can you remind the listeners your website address?
Yeah, that would be AnnaMozica.com, my first name, my last name together.com. It's very easy.
I will put all the links in the show notes anyway, and I will put also the links to the pre-order of Shadow City. Anna, thank you so much for being in the podcast. It was super interesting. I hope you had a good time.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. I really had a great time and I was almost like chatting with an old friend. I'm very happy that we got in touch and I hope we keep in touch.
Oh yes, I hope I will, and I will keep people informed of all your latest news on my Twitter and on my website. Thank you so much, and listeners, thank you very much for listening to this episode, and I will see you in 2 weeks for the next one. Thank you for listening to the Pater Matis podcast. If you want more advice and inspiration, head to the website thepatermartisinoneword.com and don't forget to subscribe and leave a review if you enjoyed the show.